Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I'm glad you're here. Nicole Galinas is with us, ladies and gentlemen. You're going to be glad you're here with me and Nicole because Nicole, as you know, is a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute, contributing editor to City Journal. She's a chartered financial analyst, and she writes on financial issues and topics all the time. We've been the beneficiary of her immense wisdom and knowledge over the years as a member of our Brain Trust. We're very proud of that. But I'm especially excited today, so excited I can't talk, because her new book is out. It's called After the Fall, Saving Capitalism from Wall Street and Washington, one of the most important perspectives that any of us can have right now with regard to what's going on these days. Nicole Galinas, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Jim. Thank you so much for having me back.
It's good to have you back. I'm so proud of you for this book.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
It's nice to be done and see what people think of it.
I have children, but I've never birthed a baby. But I have written two books, and I must be as close to birthing a baby as a guy can get anyway. It's a labor, and I know it was a labor of love. But I also know you're glad to have it off the printer, right?
Yep, I have it on the shelf.
Nicole, a couple of things. Let me set the stage for what I've been talking with my audience about, and this is where they've been with me for the last year and a half or so. Two things. Number one, the problem we have today is not an asset recession like we had in the mid-70s, the early 80s, or the early 90s and the early part of this decade. Those were kind of asset recessions for the most part. This is a financial meltdown. This is different. This was different. So we got into it differently than the others. We're going to get out of it differently. That's one thing.
Right.
I just say one more thing, then I'm going to let you run. The other thing is, in my opinion, it was caused by excessive greed on Wall Street, excessive incompetence on Washington, and corruption between the two.
Now, well, absolutely. You know, this is a financial meltdown, and it should not have been unexpected. I mean, what Wall Street needs two things: market discipline and some reasonable limits. Otherwise, speculation will destroy itself, as we saw in the 1920s. So market discipline means they have to have the fear of failure.
Right.
Since the 1980s, you know, people don't know, or some people don't know, that we haven't had, you know, too big to fail is not new. This is 25 years old, and older listeners may remember when the government bailed out Continental Illinois, which was the eighth largest bank in the country.
Don't forget Chrysler.
Oh, yeah, but in terms of banks.
In terms of financial, right, exactly.
Yeah, 1984, we had Continental Illinois bailed out. The bondholders didn't take their losses. Why is that important? Because lenders to finance knew after that they were protected from the consequences of their own actions. And then you had things like limits on borrowing go away. You know, 25 years ago, you had to put a 20% down payment to buy a house.
Right.
And that meant housing bubble could not get away from itself the way that this one did, because people wouldn't have had the cash to keep up with that. So we got away from these reasonable rules and regulations.
I remember Nicole and a broker, a real estate broker, coming to a meeting or a luncheon or something where I was, a friend of mine, and she was so excited because she just heard about a new mortgage product where people could actually borrow like 110% of the purchase price. She was so excited, and I said, "What?" That was my reaction.
Yeah, it should be.
I said, "Are you reading Bizarro World comic books or something? Where'd that come from?" And then this was about 10 years ago, by the way.
That's about right. I mean, a lot of these things started coming up, you know, right around 9/11, and when interest rates were very low, after the tech bubble burst and after 9/11. That's when all of this started taking
right.
off.
And I also remember all the conversations over the last 10 or 15 years about whether the government had an implicit or an explicit plan, whether the government supporting Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac was implicit or explicit.
Right,
and so you know, when people thought about investing in them, or whatever they were doing, whatever business they were up to, you know, there was always this thing about what would the government do if they failed. Go ahead.
And that is the case for Citigroup, Bear Stearns. What firms enjoy this government guarantee? This has been a game that has been played
yep.
on Wall Street because there's no consistent, predictable rule of law. The only way that you have a credible threat of failure is not through these Republicans saying, oh, we voted against TARP. Everyone knows if
right.
they were in power, they would have voted for it, too.
Right.
They were in power. This was Bush's idea. It's through having the rules and regulations that mean that failure is not an economic catastrophe. And
mm-hmm.
we did this from the 30s through the 80s. These new financial markets started escaping these regulations starting in the 80s, and this is exactly what we got. We got a 20-style, an early 30-style meltdown. Again.
Right, right. Well, and the thing is that one of the big differentiators between the robust entrepreneurial spirit that we have in America and Europe is that we actually embrace failure. We don't like it, we don't want it, but when it happens, the failed entity falls into the heap and rises up again, maybe, and we redeem people here in America. In Europe, if you fail, you're branded for life. Your children may be branded for life. So therefore, people don't try, they don't take the risk. In Europe, I should say, in America, we take risks because we know if we fail, we can be redeemed.
Right, that's absolutely true, and I think that's particularly important is the failure part. You know, Americans want to forgive and give you a second chance, but first they want to make sure that you're not still on your first chance
right.
with government money.
They want to make sure there's a tear in your eye when you fail.
Yeah, I mean, we see with AIG, why are people so angry at AIG people getting these bonuses and
right.
they're going out there and standing in front of their houses? It's not because we don't like rich people. It's because we can see that they would not be getting these bonuses if it weren't for the government money.
That's exactly right. And the three banks that got they're paying $30 billion in bonuses this year, while we got Americans unemployed across the country because of the behavior of those three banks. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, Nicole Galinas and I are going to talk some more about her new book called After the Fall, Saving Capitalism from Wall Street and Washington. Stay with us, 20 after.
Won't you come away with me?
Welcome back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you for checking it out, using it to your advantage. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter, which we'll send you every Sunday afternoon. And don't forget all the other things at my website we've built just for you. And if you're on Twitter and you want to follow me there, I'm at Jim Blasingame. Nicole Galinas is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. She's our good friend, longtime member of our Brain Trust, the author of the new book, After the Fall, Saving Capitalism from Wall Street and Washington. Nicole, tell us how we can find your book.
My name is Galinas, and it's available online. It's available in bookstores, so it's out there.
That's right. Wherever books are sold, and of course, I'm sure the online merchants have it, and check out your local bookstore. If they don't have it, they'll order it for you.
I think people will enjoy the book. It's, you know, this is not, you don't have to know financial jargon.
Right.
This is just to simplify what Wall Street makes complicated on purpose, and Washington, too.
That's the thing that I like about it, Nicole. I was telling the audience before you got here, it's plain English. It's written, this is a book for flyover America. This is not an inside baseball book, and I appreciate the way you did that. Nicole, one of the things that I wanted to say, we talked in the previous segment about the government coming in and saving companies, not letting them fail. Things, companies, organizations being too big to fail, like AIG, like Citi, like well, pick one. And the problem with that is that puts the least capable entity in the on the planet in the position, which is the government, in the position of picking winners and losers. And there, we couldn't have, it'd be like, you know, having someone swing, go up to bat to save the ball game, and we put our least, our worst batter up to bat. What do you think?
Right, and it's not because the government is stupid, it's because central planning just is not superior to millions and millions of investors making decisions.
But you're being easy on them. I'm not going to say they're stupid, but they're just totally incapable. Nicole, in the time we have left, I want to ask you what President Galinas would have done in September, the second week, third week of September, 2008. What would Nicole Galinas have done as president?
Well, this is the problem that people have. It's that people think the crisis started in September 2008. By then, it was too late. We had created a system where the economy could not withstand financial industry failure.
Mm-hmm.
What I would have done is say, never again. We have not heard that credibly from either the president or the Republicans. Republicans are saying, oh, we wouldn't have put our money into TARP. We wouldn't have voted for it. But the problem is, then we would have had a depression because we
so you think what they did a little over a year ago, we don't like it. It was medicine we didn't like, but it was medicine we needed.
Well, you should really ask, what would I have done if I were president in 1984?
All
because,
right.
And this is, you know, with
right.
the benefit of hindsight.
Right.
When we had our first too-big-to-fail bank,
mm-hmm.
if we had let that bank fail, it would have been very bad for the economy. We probably would have had a recession and maybe a global recession, but we would have shown the market, or let the market show itself, that this business model that finance was starting to embrace was just untenable.
Then basically, Nicole, we're basically in big trouble, because as long as politicians have the ability, they're not going to let something fail, because that's going to cause them to lose their job. And so basically we're basically screwed then, right?
Right. And what happened was the government essentially subsidized financial industry debt with this guarantee. And we got more debt. This is not a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
When you subsidize corn, you get more corn. When you subsidize debt, you get more debt. So we could have had failure and the markets working 25 years ago, or we could have had it now. Now, the markets did work. They showed that this financial system was unsustainable. It's just that because they were so poorly, they were not subject to market discipline for so long, the way that they worked was very violent and would
right.
have done too much damage to the economy. But it could have been avoided. It couldn't be avoided.
But what do we got to do to, you know, the damage is done. History has been written. What do we do going forward? What are the things? All right, so now, President Galinas, it's December 2009, heading into the new era. What would you do now?
Well, we need the markets to understand that there's a credible fear of failure. And that doesn't mean, Lehman Brothers stockholders lost, Fannie Mae stockholders lost, because
right.
you know what, AIG stockholders still have a chance of doing well. You need consistency. It's not, it can't be arbitrary
right.
the way it
but
is.
We can't, well, we got to quit, the government's got to quit picking winners and losers.
Right, exactly. And the way that we do that is we have these limits on borrowing in place that are also consistent. The government can't decree from the top down.
Right, right.
Some mortgage securities are safe, so you don't need capital behind them. Government securities are safe, so you don't need capital, but other securities are risky.
Right.
The market should be deciding what's risky and what's not the government.
Nicole, I got to wrap it up, but in 20 seconds, can capitalism, as you and I prefer it, be saved?
Absolutely, but we just need consistent rules and limits in place.
But aren't people like you and me going to have to demand this of our government, because they're not going to do it on their own?
Right, and knowledge is the first element of power here.
Yeah. After the fall, ladies and gentlemen, Saving Capitalism from Wall Street to Washington, Nicole Gelinas. That's with a G-E-L-I-N-A-S. If you're looking for her book, it's wherever books are sold. It's outstanding. We're going to talk more with her in the future about the book. Nicole, thanks for being here. We'll see you next time. Quick break. Stay with me. I'm Jim Blasingame. So I don't have to
dream alone. Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.